Boker Tov. So we're beginning a very, very exciting journey, because for most of us, we've done Shabbos for an awful long time. And yet, as with so many things in life, we have an opportunity at times to step back and take a new look at something that we've done for a long time and appreciate it in a new way. And what I suspect, if we were to go around and ask, is that what we find is that any time we create more intention around something, we spend more time learning or studying or thinking, it changes that experience. So, for example, the Kollel is now in the afternoon. In Halacha Seder, we are learning the laws of Kriya Shema. So I've learned Kriya Shema and said Kriya Shema, and right? But now my Kriya Shema is different. Because when you spend 3 hours a day in the afternoon narrowing in, focusing, thinking about Kriya Shema, it makes a difference. So my hope is that by the time we're finished with this journey, we can each turn around and say, wow, you know what? Our Shabbos is a little different. That's the goal. So to get there, originally I thought we would start at the beginning. So I figured originally our first discussion would be about Shabbos connected to Bereishis, which we'll have to talk about, Shabbos connected to Melechus Machsheves, fundamentals of Shabbos, and then I decided to do something totally different, and I hope that this is going to resonate with you. Because we know, and it's actually a very Shabbos theme, that Sof Maisa B'Machsheva Tchila, what ends as execution had to begin with a thought, as we'll talk about a little more later. But this is translated by maybe a more contemporary personality as begin with the end in mind. Right? Stephen Covey was trying to explain that first you have to envision something for you to pursue it. And so what we're going to actually pursue today is a vision. A vision that I've never seen. I've never seen this vision. I'm not on that level. But we're going to meet someone who saw this level. And so even though we in our lifetime may never get to this level that we're going to see today, or we're going to hear about or learn about through the eyes of someone who saw it, at least to me, it's worth knowing that that's at the top of the mountain. We should know at the outset of this journey what it looks like at the top. Even if I've never seen it, maybe some of the people I've met in life have seen it, but I don't know who's ever seen this top of the mountain. But that's what we're going to start with today. And that's actually the topic of Shalosh Shudos. Shalosh Shudos. Exactly. Exactly. We're going to start at the end. Begin with the end in mind. Because actually, Shalosh Shudos, the post-Mincha period of Shabbos, the end of Shabbos is the pinnacle of Shabbos. There was a man who left this world in a burst of gunfire in November of 1943. But even though his soul departed so many years ago, and this time it's generations ago already, he left an indelible imprint on all of contemporary Judaism through his teachings. There's actually been a serious and substantive revival in the study of his teachings over the past, 40 years in a major way. And he has become an influential person to many. When I was in high school, I was first introduced to his teachings that relate to high school students. And then in recent years, I spent more time focusing on his teachings as they relate to experiences that he lived through before his tragic passing in the Warsaw Ghetto. And his name is Rav Klonimus Kalman Shapira. Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Hashem Yikom Damo. He was known as the Pia Setzner Rebbe. And the Pia Setzner had a top of the mountain Shabbos experience. And we have the gift of being able to learn about his top of the mountain Shabbos experience through his writings, which, by the way, we have miraculously, because we don't have time today to go through the history of how exactly we have the writings that we're going to see right now. But suffice it to say that when the Rebbe was killed outside of a labor camp called Troniki, his ksavim, what we're about to read, was far away from him. It was buried in a metal can, in a milk can, under the ruins of the Warsaw Ghetto. These texts that we're about to read were only unearthed 10 plus years later, and through a whole miraculous, circuitous journey, ended up at the doorstep of his brother, who had made Aliyah before the war. He was known as the Admor HaChalutz, the pioneering Hasidic master of Yeshaya Shapira. Thanks to Baruch Dov Devani and the Jewish Agency and a Polish factory construction worker who unearthed this milk can that was buried as part of the Onik Shabbos archives. The Rebbe, in those collected writings, included drushos that were later entitled Eish Kodesh. He also included several other manuscripts, including his diary. This small, thin diary, which it contains, you know, only a few handfuls of entries from the early 1930s, late 1920s, is a window into the Rebbe's soul, and he wrote a lot of personal things in there. And he writes one thing, one entry, one line, entry number 26. If you turn to the first page on the Bar Mekomos, there's also a sheet going around for anybody to just jot down your name and email address, so please, we'll keep you posted with the emails. The Rebbe writes a line. Tomeani, I'm shocked. Loma ze ein marishin kol kach. Why is it that people... What is a rash? What is rash? Noise, tumult, excitement. Loma ze ein marishin. Why is there not such a tumult? Kol kach, so much. B'shah shaholchem l'shalashudis. When people walk to shalashudis. Kemo shemarishim b'shah shaholchem l'kol nidrei. The Rebbe says, I don't get it. People, kol nidrei, they're shaking. They're focused. You can't talk to them. They're zoned in. Except for that one year that I got the time wrong and I made the entire shul wait when I was late. So for those who were there, I ask your mechila again. I was on Chove time. I didn't realize our Torah started 20 minutes earlier. But okay, Michael. Okay, it happens. But in a normal year, you are not running out to Kol Nidrei, right? You're focused. You're locked in. So the Rebbe says, I don't understand. How could it be that people are not experiencing Shalashur's time on Shabbos like Kol Nidrei? From this one line already, we get an inkling that the Rebbe saw what maybe the rest of us don't yet see. He saw something at Shalashudas. He felt something. He knew something. So he explains this further in another work, also hidden in the same collection. This is called Hachsharas Avreichim. This is a follow-up to the Rebbe's work that he published before the war. The Rebbe wrote a book for high school boys before the war. It's a very, very important work called Chovas HaTalmidim, A Student's Obligation. That was for younger people. Then he wrote a follow-up, which he didn't have a chance to see come to fruition, called Hachsharas Avreichim. So that's this second work, where the Rebbe again talks about Shalashus. He says, Eich ze efshar, how is it possible in the fourth chapter, Shishas Shalashudis, that the time of Shalashudis, Eish Histalik HaShabbos, when Shabbos ebbs, when Shabbos Kodesh starts to depart, Lo Yelacha Kishami Yom Kippur, it's not like Yom Kippur. And what is that supposed to feel like? Look at the second line here. Rakam Shah Shal Hisroam was he. It's not just a time of feeling small. The Rebbe writes in the entry about how he introspects sitting in the presence of Hashem at Shalashudis and how he feels small and inadequate. But it's also a time, he says, of Romamus. Hatzadikim Amru. The Tzadikim said, third line here in source number two. First word on the line, Shishas Shalashudis, that the time of Shalashudis, he hasha, it is the moment, shell, of the following teaching. It's better, it's more enjoyable, it's nicer to have one moment, shah, 1 hour, 1 minute of tshuva and ma'asim tovim in this world, mikol chayei ha'olam haba, than the whole next world. It says that's shalashuddis. Shalashuddis, 1 minute of shalashuddis is worth more than all of olam haba. Then he quotes from his father-in-law, who is a descendant, his father-in-law, Rav Moshe Epstein, was a direct descendant of the Kozhin Tzur Magid. So he says, I heard from my father-in-law, who heard from the Kozhin Tzur Magid, go down two lines. You see where the first word on the line is, Hamagid, Zecher Tzadi V'Kodesh Levracha L'Chayelam Abba, Zayin Tzadi Vav Kuf Lamed Lamed Hei, Mi Kozhnitz, Omar Pam, he once said, B'Shalashuddis et Shalashuddis, Shahaya, that it was, B'Vechinas, a quality of tzaddikim yoshvim, the righteous are sitting, va'atroseim birosheim, and their crowns are on their heads, v'nenem miziv hashchina, and they are enjoying the splendor, the radiance of Hashem's presence. Do you know what that's said about in Chazal? When is it described that the righteous are sitting around Hashem and they are enjoying the presence of God? What is that describing? It's describing Olam Haba, Gan Eden. The Kozhin Tzur Magid says, Shalashuddis is like Gan Eden. So the Rebbe goes on to wonder about why is it that we're not tapped into this? And he develops this even further in another passage. Now this passage is even, I guess you could say, even more spectacular in a certain sense than the previous. Because this, if you thought these two texts were amazing, being unearthed by the Ribbono Shalom's Ratzon from some underground, subterranean, hidden cavern with these documents, the next document is even more curious in some ways, more spectacular. Because before the war, the Rebbe had a secret society. A small group of men who gathered together to focus on personal spiritual growth. This is what it was. It was like a club. It was a spiritual club. In the beginning of the manual for this club, the Rebbe writes, in our club, there are not going to be any titles. Because whenever you have titles, you have a vice president, you have an executive vice president, you know, then all of a sudden you get, says there's no titles in this club. It's just people who want to get together and talk about really seeing Hashem in the world. So they had secret meetings, and they had secret protocols. And the Rebbe had a book, a little pamphlet, which he wrote up for this group. And he wrote on the book that nobody should publish this pamphlet, because it's a secret. So they only had copies for the people who are part of the secret club. Fine. Then the Rebbe is no longer after the Holocaust. And somebody, somehow, got a copy of some part of this text and started to disseminate it. So people who were close to the Piasetzner, to the Shapir family, started to wonder what to do. Because on the one hand, the Rebbe said, this is not supposed to be printed, this is a secret. On the other hand, somebody started to print the text, and now it's not the official, authoritative, original text. So they went to several Rebbes in Israel, and they asked them what they should do. So the Rebbe says, well, look, unfortunately, the Holy Piasetzner, he's gone. That whole world is gone. And given the fact that people are already getting some access to this text, it's better you should print the whole thing. So that is what you're looking at on page 3. This is actually a rare photo from before the war of the Rebbe on the left side with his only son. So this book you can now get. It's called B'nai Machshava Tova. It's a very thin, slim volume where the Rebbe writes out the instructions for this secret society. And in this book, B'nai Machshava Tova, the Rebbe talks about feelings, experiences, and how those feelings and experiences and the emotion and the affect affects our mind and how we think. Because the central tenet of the book is having machshava tova, of having a clear vision. And how do we see with spiritual eyes, not just with physical eyes? Our physical eyes see, I see a table, I see light fixtures, I see people, hair. But how does a person see the ruchnius within the gashmius? So that's what he's talking about. So as part of this discussion, he comes back again to talk about shalashudis. He really experienced it. Ha'im ein ata margisha, margish, do you not see on the right side? Do you not feel? Ha'im ein ata margish mu'uma uz, even a drop at that time. Had tzaddikim amru, the righteous said, which we just said before, from the kozhet zur magid, and from the tzaddikim, that this is the time of olam haba. Tzaddikim yoshvim. Go down five lines. Va'ata ha'encha, first one of the line is margish. Eina margish mu'uma. You don't feel anything. The Rebbe is talking to me. He's looking at me. He's saying, yesterday, you sat down to have shalashudas, and you didn't feel anything. How's that possible? If yesterday afternoon, I sat there and experienced what was the opening of the doors of Gan Eden into my soul, and I didn't feel anything. Shah Shiyoser told me, Kol Chai Olam Abba, a moment which is greater than all of Olam Haba, Overas Alecha, it's passing over me. Ve'ein ato yodea umargish. We don't know or feel anything. I didn't get it. Betach, for sure, Atzluscha Mefatos Chashuv. Must be your lack of attention, your laziness is seducing you, that you didn't feel it. Umi yiske lahamagid ulishar tzadikim zal. You know what our Yitzhahara tells us? Who am I? I'm not from the great tzadikim. I'm never going to reach that. So that's why I don't feel anything, because I'm not on that level. So the Rebbe says, you hear those excuses? Is that what you hear in the back of your mind? Avol kvar amarti lecha. I've already told you, the Rebbe says. He's talking to us. Shetshuva kazos, tshuva se yetzahara, shebuchayi. That's just the yetzahara telling you, oh, you're not on the level of the Kozhen Tzur Magid, or of the Baal Shem Tov, or of the Pia Setzner. That's your yetzahara talking. Tshuva se yetzahara, that's what it is. Hashem Yisbarach, God, Bach Malchuso, Bach Kol Mashallah. God relates to everyone. Ve'imat Tzadikim Zechusim Yogin Olenu, if the righteous Hirgishu, if they felt this Angu and they enjoyed Mikdushas Yisbarach Bebechinas Reisha, if they were at the head, at the top, Ato Al Kolponim Es Bechinas Akivayim, at least I am at the bottom, at the heel. So it's true, I'm not at the level of the Kodnitzer. He says, but Rav Shlomo relates to me. So don't give an excuse and say, oh, I can't experience elevation at Shalashudas because I'm not at the high level. It says, but you're at the table. You're part of this conversation. The Rav Shlomo relates to you. Avol betach gam ata margish b'chois Shalashudas. The Rebbe says, guess what? I don't know if you ever knew this, but you also feel Shalashudas. I say to the Rebbe, really? I feel shalashudis. Gam libcha umokacha, also our heart, our mind, misnanim umizdazim ikol ram hagalgal, galgale amarkavash overim derech nafshacha. We do feel, our mind does perceive, that the wheel of ruchnius that is turning inside of us is receiving, is connecting. Rak, but here's the problem. She'in atayachol lehisbonin ulehistakel. We just can't pay attention. So you know what happens? V'harash, v'haram, v'haregesh ovdim v'nifsadim mecha. The noise of life. We've drowned it out. That little inner voice, that feeling, that awareness. It's there. The Rebbe says, we just don't feel it. Maybe we're still napping. Maybe we just woke up. But it's much deeper than that. We've accumulated so much collective noise. All of a sudden, ad shekimat, fourth line from the end of the right column, lo teda shav shem elokecha bo v'kol kadosh avimo. We don't even realize it anymore. We're not aware. Kol ish tzarech lehistakel kafi matzavo. Everybody needs to look carefully according to their level. Vayistaklus pshuta b'shalosh shudis l'mashal hikach. And what do we look at it at shalosh shudis? We need to be meditating, thinking, introspecting. What do we think at shalosh shudis, says the Rebbe? I'll tell you. He says, I'm going to tell you right now. Avr alecha ha-Shabbos. We just experienced Shabbos. I just experienced Shabbos. That's what I'm supposed to think at shalosh shudis. Yom kulo shel kedusha min ha-shamayim kidshu osach. A day that is complete holiness from Hashem sanctified us. V'gam ata kidashto es atzmacha, top of the second column. And we sanctified ourselves. B'yom ze, on this day, lo asakta b'mischarcha, we didn't go to work. Lo tiyalta b'shvakim arachovos, we didn't surf the internet looking for bargains. Lo hikaltas roshcha, we didn't do anything silly or dumb. We didn't watch Red Zone or, I don't know, Chopped or whatever other silly things we do for, you know, recreation. Yashafta, this is what the Rebbe is saying we did on Shabbos. Halavai, it's amazing. Yashafta, we sat. Hisbonanta, we meditated. Beincha uvein konecha. We just thought about Hashem. Oh, yacharim chavirecha, or maybe you got together with friends. Asakta b'torah, you learned Torah. Ubesiach shel kedusha, and in holy conversation. Vachasidus and piety. Kibasta es atzmacha mikol avak. We washed ourselves from all dust. The kesem and every stain, sha'olu alecha b'chol ha'shavua, that may have crept up on us the whole week. Ve'ishtaltalta lavo ad nafshecha, and we came back to our inner soul, sha'azavta v'richakta mimenu b'chol yimos ha'chol, that we were away from it, that maybe we ignored it during the past week. So on Shabbos, we came back, we paid attention to it. Uvechol shah v'shosh hirgashta sha'ata ola mimatzav al-matzav min madreya kedusha madreya kedusha. We felt over Shabbos ourselves going higher and higher, elevated from one step to the next. Ad shekiravto el shaloshudis morom kitzel shalosh Shabbos ravin de ravin. Until we arrived at the summit of sanctity of Shabbos at shalosh shudis. Did you ever hear of such a description of Shabbos? Sof maisa b'machshava tchila. The Rebbe tells the secret society, all the friends, they got together. He says, this is what Shabbos looks like. And the time to think about that is shalosh shudis. Because shalosh shudis is the pinnacle. Shalosh shudis is what he calls rava deravin. Ratzon, rava in Aramaic is ratzon. So for example, when you read Aramaic, every time you open the Sefer Torah, the Aron Kodesh, you say, Yehei rava kadamach. It should be the ratzon before you. It should be your will. Desiftach liboy, that my heart should be opened be'oraisa with Torah. That's what they say every time from that passage, Yehei rava. So this time is rava deravin. Shal Shudis is the pinnacle of the pinnacle. This is explained in terms and ideas that, as much of what we're going to talk about here, I don't really understand because it's way, way deeper than the area where I'm allowed to swim with floaties. But in the deep waters, there was an unbelievable great tzaddik, a Hasidic master, his name was Rabbi Chaim Chernovitzer. He wrote a sefer called Siduro Shel Shabbos, all about Shabbos. Mirtz Hashem will reference it among many other wonderful Shabbos sfarim this year. Amazing ones, phenomenal, incredible, eye-opening. So in the Siddur Shel Shabbos, he has like a Kabbalistic basic insight. You see, I put it on page 4. on the source 4 on the bottom, in the way at the end of the volume, Mikol Shekein, the Kol Shekein Ata, what's that? Be'ez Tfilas Mincha, at the time of Mincha on Shabbos, Sha'anu Omdim B'makom Gavoa Menorah Ma'od, we stand at a high, awesome level, each one of us, we, U'ma'atrin HaMelech Malchei Amlochim Kiviyachol Baruch Hu Ba'atoru Suksarim Gedolim, B'Tfilo B'Kedusha Shalat Tfila. Mincha on Shabbos is the highest point. Just like Shabbos is the highest meal, because he says we crown Hashem at that point. In Nusach Sfard, this actually makes sense to you, because what Kedusha do you say at Musaf? In Sfard? Keser. It's the crown. So you've placed the crown, so to speak, on, obviously this is just personification, you've crowned Hashem at Musaf, and now you're, so to speak, praising and adorning Hashem at Mincha. That's Shalosh Shudis. So this is the pinnacle time. How do we understand it? Why is it called Ratzon Shel Ratzon? So briefly, three different ways of thinking about this. The first is, comes from an amazing Ha'ara that the B'nai Sosra quotes from the Heiliger Reb Mendel of Rimnov. And we could spend maybe a whole day, a lot of the things we're going to talk about this year, we're just going to talk about them to the extent that we can with time permitting. But this itself is really a whole discussion that before you came this morning to get here, I don't think anybody walked, right, in a monsoon. You didn't walk. You got in the car and you drove here. So if someone were to ask you, how did you come to learn this morning? You would tell them, you picked up the keys, and you walked outside or went into the garage, you opened the garage door, you pulled out, you drove here, you parked in the parking lot, and you walked inside. That's what you did to get here this morning. It's true. But something happened before that. So you're thinking, okay, so first I davened Shacharis, before that I got dressed, before that I washed Negelwasser. But before anything, you had to first decide that you wanted to come to learn this morning. Part of you thought, I want to come to learn. Once you decided you want to come to learn, then you figured, okay, I got to get out of pajamas, I got to get in the car, I got to park, and I got to go inside. But before all those things that you did, there was a ratzon. There was a decision that you want to do this. And this is true for everything in life. Right? Before you brush your teeth, first you have to decide, I want to brush my teeth. Before you engage in any work project, you have to say, I want to do this. There's always a ratzon before, right? Everything comes with the initial ratzon. So now, this is a very deep idea. What's that? That's right. Even Moda'ani comes with a ratzon. I want to thank and acknowledge the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then I say Moda'ani, right? You have to have a ratzon. Everything comes with a ratzon first. First you want to do something, then you do it. So to speak, Kiviyachol, Hashem had a ratzon. Now we don't understand what that means. But before Hashem created the world, there was some spiritual concept of ratzon, that Hashem wanted to create the world. Right? Ratzisa banu. Hashem wanted us. Which is an amazing feeling to be wanted by Hashem. Hashem wanted there to be a world. He wanted there to be Jewish people. He wanted there to be me and you. He wanted us. Ratzisa banu. So to speak, imagine Hashem created the world, whatever that looked like in whatever concept. But before the creation happened, what happened? So to speak, for Hashem, or with Hashem, or by Hashem, first he had a ratzon. Hashem had a will. So if we remember that the first day of the week is Yom Rishon, is Sunday, God created the world on Sunday, so the beginning of every Bria, every week, the recreation of the world takes place on Sunday. So what happens right before Yom Rishon, right before Sunday, before the creation starts, what does Hashem have? The ratzon. Rava deravin, ratzon shel ratzon, says the Bnei Yisachar in a Maimar on Shabbos from the Heliga Reb Mendel of Rimenov, is that Shalashuddas is that moment right before the week starts. That's when Hashem looks at us and says, Ani rotzeh otcha. I want to start another good week with you. That's why it's called Rava deravin. Because it's the minute before the week starts. That's one pshat, which I think is a beautiful pshat. Another pshat, which is also magnificent, and it relates kind of to what the Piasetza was talking about in terms of the journey of Shabbos, it's in your, take a look at source number 5. It's this amazing, amazing, beautiful piece from the Nesiva Shalom, the Halakha Slonimer. Passed away only, I don't know, 15 years ago maybe? The Nesiva Shalom quotes a pasuk that some of you are familiar from Tehillim. Pasuk says, "Ashrei tivchar usikorev yishkon chatzirecha nizba betuv beisecha kadosh hechalecha." They always say that at bris. That's why everybody knows this pasuk. I was just at a bris recently, Baruch Hashem. So they said this pasuk. This is what they say at a bris. So the Nesiva Shalom points out that there is a development. Praiseworthy as the person is, yishkon chatzirecha, to first be in the courtyard of Hashem, then to go bituv, what's after the chatzer? Bituv? Yeah. That's further in, right? You go from the courtyard, from the front yard, to the bayis, and then where do you go from the bayis? Kedosh hechalecha, into the sanctuary. So the Slonimer says, this development of going from the outer courtyard, from the front yard, to the house, to the inner room, that's parallel to the Beis HaMikdash. We're in the Beis HaMikdash, right? You had the Chatzer, like in the Mishkan. You had the Chatzer, then you had the Oel, and then you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So similarly, he says, amazingly, I gave you the whole thing so that later, when you chazer this over, you'll have it in front of you. But go down in the middle section. The first word on the line is Gimel. Gimel Madregos Elu. You see that? K'mo kein yesh b'Shabbos Kodesh Gimel Madregos Elu. These are the three levels of Shabbos. Leil Shabbos Kodesh, the night of Friday night Shabbos Kodesh, hu b'b'chinas yishkon chatzirecha. That's like being in the courtyard of Shabbos. That's when we start. Like we say, lachadodi, neitzei hasad. Let's go out to the field. Lachalkal tapuchin kadishin, which is a Kabbalistic idea of this holy apple orchard. Yom Shabbos, the day of Shabbos, hu b'vchinas nizba b'tuv beisecha. That's when we are enjoying being in the day of Shabbos. It's like being in the house, like it says in the Zohar. And then we arrive at the third meal. Go down to the last four lines in the section. Doi sudasa dezeir anpin shehi bevechinas kedosh hechalecha. Ki kodesh hakadoshim shel haShabbos, second to last line, the kodesh kadoshim of Shabbos, hu ba'alos hamincha, it is the time of mincha be shalosh seudos, eis rava deravin, the time of the ratzon. So the first reason why Shalashus is called Ratzon Shel Ratzon, it's the deepest Ratzon, because when Hashem says to us, I want you to have another week. The other is because we have gone up and up in each of our levels of experiencing Shabbos from Friday night to Shabbos morning to Shalashus, when now we're at the innermost sanctum, so to speak. And again, don't get discouraged if we've never seen this or have never felt this. This is just an ideal. But there's a third element here. A third element. Which is why sometimes when you read, there's a beautiful story by Elie Wiesel. There's also a different story, a similar story by the Baal Shem HaKadosh. He once went to a little town where the peasants there were experiencing Shabbos, and he knew he had to be there for Shabbos. So he was down there Friday night. He davened Shabbos morning. He had the suda with them. And then Charles Shudas, one of the peasants, said to somebody, "All right, go get the chevra." And they had 10 people rush together to get a minion to sit for Shalosh Shudas. So Baal Shem said to them, "Why do you have a minion for Shalosh Shudas in this little kretchma?" They said, "You know, there's a tradition in some places that when a person passes away, There should be 10 people there. There should be a minyan when their soul goes to the next world. And we know that Shabbos is about to leave us, so our extra soul, our neshama yisera, is going to go. So we always get together a minyan to be there when the soul leaves. So there's a little tinge of sadness at Shal Shudis, but that actually brings, I think, the third element, or a third element, of understanding why Shal Shudis is such a high level. The Gemara has an expression, a halachic principle, which was very, very poignant in antiquity, and it's even true in many ways today. The Gemara says in Maseches Nida that if you have a couple and they are living a happy married life together, Chayav Adam lifkod es ishto kodem sheyetze laderech. The husband has to devote time, intimate time for his wife before he goes on a trip. You know, think about it. In those days, it could be weeks or months, and it was very precarious travel. It wasn't like today, you know, you get on a plane. The truth is, if you go to LaGuardia, talk, it could be weeks by the time you get back here to O'Hare. But in regular, Bederech Teva, it's not. So what happens? At that moment, you know, before there is that separation, there's a period of intense closeness. It's that hug that says, I'll be with you. I'm always with you. It wasn't exactly a hug, but I remember when Nechama and I were engaged, so I was going on a Torah expedition from YU. It was amazing. I had many, many experiences like this, which were phenomenal. So I went to Scotland for Shavuos with another fellow. We had some learning and teaching. It was really an amazing experience. So Nechama came with me to say goodbye at JFK. So we parted at security, and meanwhile, she's crying and crying. So the TSA agent says, don't worry, honey, he'll come back. It's okay. But there was that moment that we were just sitting there together. Those are the pre-hugging days. But it's that moment before the separation of real closeness. That's probably why the Kruvim were hugging each other at the time of the Churban on a deep level. Because at Shal Shudis, before the neshama goes away, that neshama, that special quality that's not there during the week, that we only have on Shabbos, in those moments of Ben Hashmashos, of twilight, of dusk, as we're feeling that that neshama Yisera is going to leave us, we have that feeling of really, really being connected and not wanting it to go. And that's the Ratzon of the Ratzon, of wishing that the Shal Shudis feeling of being connected, of being in the place of the Ribbono Shel Olam could stay with us. There is an absolutely magnificent and beautiful story that Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik told many times. And I'm going to tell it to you, but to do that, I want you first to see it and hear it just a little bit yourselves. We're not going to play the whole thing, but just so that you should feel it. He told this many times in different contexts. What you're about to see and hear was from 1979, so the Rav is already very, very advanced in age. But he remembers it like yesterday. He's describing sitting in a shtibel of Mojitzer Hasidim, not far from where he lived as a child. And he tells you the name of the street, and he's speaking in Yiddish. I remember there was a Jew, short man. All right, we'll hold it here because it's hard to hear, and I can send it to you later. But the Rav is describing sitting in this Mojitzer Shtibel, and as you heard here, if you even heard a little bit, he says, I was sitting there, I saw a short man who I didn't recognize, who was wearing a kapata that had more holes than it had fabric, than it had material. And they were singing B'nei Hechola and Hashem Roi Lo Echzar, and again and again. And usually I don't put Maiselach in the Mar Makomos, but this you have to have it. Turn the page. And the man looks at the Rav and he says, "You recognize me?" And the Rav said, "I don't recognize you." And he says, "I'm Yankel the porter." And the Rav describes in this talk how Yankel the porter would schlep during the week and he was so poor. And on Shabbos he wore a kapot on his strima. Because on Shabbos his soul wasn't Yankel the porter, but Yankel the prince. And this is so unbelievable. The Rav says he was a kid. And they were singing, going on and on, Hashem roi lo echzar, b'nei hechala, the Rav, the Ravin. And it was so dark outside, and the Rav leaned over to Yankel the porter, and he said to him, in Yiddish obviously, Shon Sait, Shon Shbeit Van Davnin, is it time for Marv yet? And Yankel the porter looked at this boy, this Talmudic genius, and he said to him, "You miss the weekday so much? Because when you say goodbye to someone, you're not running out the door. You want to just take those last few moments. You know, the last time, for some of you, that there were people in your life that you said goodbye to for a long, long time, till Tchias HaMesim. I used to have this, I don't know, maybe other people had this, but like when I would, toward the end, when I would go to visit my grandparents, Zichronim Levracha, especially my grandfather, my mother's father, who I was so close to, every time I would go and say goodbye at the Fort Lauderdale airport, it was like I couldn't stay long enough because I didn't know if that goodbye was going to be a long goodbye. When you have that goodbye, you just want to stay longer. Rava de Rav, and the Ratzon is, we want to stay with you, Ribbono Shel Olam. So why is it called Rava de Ravin? The Ratzon Shel Ratzon. So maybe this is a beautiful way to think about it. The Halege Imre Emes, who was the Ger Rebbe who escaped Europe, came to Israel and essentially rebuilt the Ger Chassidus, followed by his son, the Beis Yisrael. The Ger Rebbe has here, number 7, an amazing piece. The Pasuk says that the Ribbono Shel Olam has a name that was told to Moshe called Eheyeh, I will be, Asher, that will be, Eheyeh, or Eheyeh, that will be. That's a name of Hashem. What does it mean, I will be what I will be? Says the Halege Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe, he was the one who succeeded the Sfas Emes. The Imre Emes says, Pirushim Ekyeh, when a Jewish person, Hagam She'eno B'Shlemus, even though we're not there in a place of Shlemus, Mekabel al Atzmo, we accept upon ourselves, She'kishyetzi me'achoshech me'cheshchos yekabel olav al malchus shamayim zeo ekye. Ehyeh asher ehyeh, I will be when I will be. You could call this wanting to want. If I'm in a place where I'm inspired and I'm connected, I'll be there. But I'm not even there yet. But that's okay too. Because I wish to wish. I want to want. Eyeh, asher eyeh. I've never seen a Shalosh Shudas like this. Maybe I've never even seen a Shabbos with my physical eyes like this. A Shabbos that the Slonimer has explained that we go from Friday night to Shabbos day, that the Piasetzner writes about the B'nai Machshava Tova, that the whole Shabbos is thinking about Hashem, getting together with friends, talking about Kedusha and Chassidus. Maybe I never had a Shabbos like that. I never had that level of Eheyeh. I was never there. But the Rosh Hashanah says, that's okay. Because it could be Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. I could want to be there. That's also a level. And says Rav Avram Shor, the great Mashpia, he lives in Brooklyn. His father was Rav Gedalia Shor. He's a very original, beautiful Hasidic thinker. He says, this is why, maybe, on the bottom source in his Sefer Halekach Valibov, Inyan Mashas Suda Shlishis, why Shalosh Shudas is called Rava de Ravin, the Ratzon Shel Ratzon. That Hashem wants us, even though maybe we're not worthy, it is the Ace Ratzon. So too, he says, quotes from a Sfas Emes, last line on the right side, B'chol Ish Yisrael Yesh Ratzon Elav. Every Jew, we all have a Ratzon we want to be connected to Hashem Yisbarach. Umi she'ein lo ratzon. But what if we don't have that ratzon yet? Yesh lo ratzon, lovo lo ratzon. We have a want to want. And maybe that's what Shalashut is about. That even if we don't understand, we don't see, but we wish we could see. And that also is a madriga. So this is the way to start our journey of a whole year learning about Shabbos. To realize that even if we don't see it, we've never seen it, and maybe who knows when we'll see it, to wish that we did see it. That's the bechina of ratzon shel ratzon, rava de ravin. At Shalashutis, the Piasetzer says to us, did you feel it? I don't have an answer for you, but I'm like, I didn't feel it. I didn't see it. But that's okay. I can tell the Piasetzer, the only Reb Kolonim is Kalman, don't worry. Because even if I never saw it, I wish I could see it. And that's a madriga. This is the journey for us. That even if we don't see it, we should at least, hopefully, nurture and foster within ourselves our ratzon to see that level. That ratzon of Shabbos. That closeness, that Kodesh Kadoshim at the time of Shalashus.